Let me ask one of the stories. It wasn't funny at that time, but
you got all wet, didn't you?
I got all wet, yeah. Anyhow, that's the missionary stories, and thank God that I have had the opportunity to travel all around the world, and my main calling is to Russia and Ukraine and Moldova, that part of the world. So I'm praying this war gets over so I can get back over there again. And I believe it's, you know, we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for the peace of Moscow and Ukraine, that whole area. Just, you know, it's not God's will that people live in that kind of situation. Amen?
That's right.
Amen. Well, we'll get into our subject here tonight. And I believe that we live in a culture, you'll probably agree with me today, that is different than it was when I was growing up. I mean, I don't know about you. I've been in the ministry for 73 years. You say, how can you do that? Say that? My mother, they said they used me as a baby when they were going to Bible school to teach the women how to change diapers. I was an example. So I've been teaching ever since then. So, but it was the church back in those days. I was raised in a Pentecostal church. My father was a Pentecostal pastor. There was more of a connection with people in the church. There, you know, we knew everybody. Whereas today we live in a culture where we don't even know who our neighbors are for the most part. I know myself, I've introduced myself to my neighbors, you know, so they get to know who I am and a little bit about themselves. But it's important that we don't carry that kind of thinking into the church.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
We are connected. We are one body.
Yes.
The Bible says when one member suffers, we all suffer. A lot of churches, you know, we have a lot of big churches, and I pastored a church of 1,000 people, and it's tough when you have that many people to get them connected. And we did it through home groups and share groups, we called them at that time. But people have that independent spirit. How's that? We get it from being in America. We're an independent society. And we carry that into the church, and that's not God's plan for us. We need to be connected. And when one member is suffering, you know, I should know about it. Amen. And be caring about that person's situation. And I can't solve everybody's problems, but I can do what I can. And so as I share some things here tonight and a little bit tomorrow, I want to stir it up in you that, you know, we have to start thinking outside our box and get and reach out and touch people in our congregations. Actually, you know, when Rome was conquering lands, what they did, they set up little centers in these conquering countries that they had like a little bit of Rome. You could go there and see what Rome was like. See, God set up the church so we would know what heaven's like. Amen? People come in our doors, they should know, get a taste of heaven. And what is Jesus said, they would know we're his disciples by what?
Love.
Our love. We're going to look at that word love there in some detail. It's the word agape. You've all heard that before. And it's interesting how many times it's used in the Bible. I'm a word studier. I like to look up the Greek and the Hebrew. And nowadays, man, we have it made. I have an app on my phone. You know, I just push, the Bible comes up, I push it on the word. It gives me the Greek and the Hebrew. It's neat. We're spoiled, amen?
Yep.
I remember years ago when I studied, I had books all over my desk, you know. Now I just need my iPad. I'm just to and go at it. But we don't have community churches like they did years ago. We have commuter churches. You understand that?
Yes.
We have people that, well, I just retired 3 years ago. I'm not retired really. I retired from pastoring. I'm still involved with our church. I teach and preach there. I'm on the board of directors. I'm still involved there. But, you know, we have people that drive an hour to come to our church. And you don't see these people, maybe, if they're not at church, you don't see them for weeks. You know what I mean? Where in biblical days, Bible days, everybody went to the market every day. You saw people that were in your fellowship because you had to buy your meat. You didn't have a refrigerator. You had to get it fresh. You know what I'm talking about? And so there was more of a connection with one another. And so we need to change that mindset. Somehow we can make it more of a community church rather than as a what I call it, commuter church. Are you getting that point? And it's a challenge, really, in our society. It really is. It's a challenge. I know the Amish, you know about the Amish. They are very connected with their, they're very community-minded. If someone's going through something, they'll build them a house or a barn to burns down. They'll build them, you know what I'm talking about? Whereas the church today, you know, we're very disconnected. We see each other once or twice a month, or if people even come that regularly. You always have your core people that are always there, like you guys, you know, amen. But we need to have that mindset change where we start seeing people through the eyes of God's eyes. And what it means to love one another and to be connected. If you are suffering, it bothers me. If you're sick, what's the Bible say? Pray for one another that ye may be healed. If I don't know you, amen. In fact, I like to have people's names when I pray for people. I say, I want some people's names. I don't believe in shotgun prayers. Like, Lord, save them all. I want a name so I can make mention of your name when I'm praying and have effective praying. Amen? Amen? So we have to get to know one another. We have to be connected. And it's like I said, it's hard in our society because everybody's so independent. Yeah. We just are. But in the church, say in the church. It's a different ball game, amen. And there are certain denominations that are better at this than a lot of us Pentecostals too. But again, thinking back in the early days of me growing up in church, there was more connection amongst people. And it was more of a, again, community church. You go in your cities nowadays, you see a church building here. Everybody used to walk to church, you know. They would draw from that community. But that's not the way it is anymore, is it? So we have to somehow stir that up, get it back functioning. And like I said, the early church, they saw each other all the time. In fact, in Hebrews, let's go to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10 here. It says in verse 25, I think some people think a pastor wrote this. We do use it a lot, amen? But it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I believe he's speaking of, in, you know, they considered the last days back then. We are really in the last of the last days today. How many believe that? I mean, it's close. I mean, someone was telling me the other day that they're getting ready to offer up the red heifers over in Israel now. I don't know. That's one of the signs of the last days. So who knows? Amen. We're getting close. Amen. So we got to be looking up, not stocking up. Amen. But you know, he says here, we need to gather ourselves together even the more. You know, people. When I was pastoring, you know, I'd like to have extra meetings at times, and sometimes people were fussing about that. But the Bible says even the more we should be gathering together. We need that encouragement. I don't know. I need church. Do you need church? I need church. I miss it. I could probably tell you count them, maybe I don't exaggerate, but on my two hands, how many times I have not been in a church on a Sunday morning in my life. Some of that was in the military. But I'm always there. And we have Wednesday night service, I'm there. We have prayer meetings, I'm there. It's, you know, I draw from the life of the body of Christ.
Yes.
I need people. And they need me, I need that. Amen?
Absolutely.
So even the more, he says. In fact, let's go back to the sixth chapter of Hebrews. It's, you know, someone mentioned here earlier, you know, when you tell someone you love them, you get tested. Amen? Ask Peter about that. I love you, Lord. And he was tested, wasn't he? I've had people come to me and say, I love you, Pastor. I'm thinking, maybe you should say that. Are you ready for a test? I always say this, tests are not hard when you know the answer, though. Amen?
Absolutely.
And we have the ability to love. God has shed his love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
We can love with the love of God. This agape kind of love we'll be talking about here. But here in What did I tell you to go to? Six chapter, verse 10. For God is not unjust, excuse me, not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Notice he calls loving people work.
Yes.
You know, it's work to love someone and to keep that relationship healthy. And amen. Yeah, those that are married here, you know what that's all about. Amen. It's an adjustment. He's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So again, it's the love walk that should motivate us. In fact, it says in that Jesus was what? Moved with compassion. He was moved by the love of God. And he went about doing good, Acts 10:38, and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. We sometimes skip over that part. He went about doing good. But he went around ministering life to people. He helped them out. He helped the poor. He fed the multitudes. He went about doing good. We ought to be doing good.
Yes.
We should be known for our goodness. How's that?
Good works.
Amen. We're not saved by our works, but we're saved to work. How's that? And he is a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. That steady effort to accomplish. That we're diligent. And, you know, we have a lot of people that are 50-yard dashers. But I'm a marathon runner. Amen?
Right, amen.
We're in it for the long haul. I have people that have came to the church, you know, they're all excited and blah, you know, hallelujah, hallelujah, let's run, yeah. And next thing you know, they fizzle out on you. God's looking for people that are stable, that are diligent, that are willing to work at relationships. Again, in our society, we don't have that kind of relationship. We don't even know our neighbors, like I said. But thank God, I believe he's going to change that. Amen?
Yes.
So Jesus, again, he's our example. Amen?
Yes.
He went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed by the devil. So he'll teach you how to do good. Amen. In fact, let's go to Matthew 25 here. I'm going to share some serious things here in these sessions, and that's going to maybe shake you up a little bit, but that's all right. How many need to be shook? He's all shook up. Amen. This passage here is a powerful passage where Jesus is talking about. Let's back up here to let's start here in verse 34. Everybody there with me? Matthew 25. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was ahungered, and ye what? Gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when saw we a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So again, it's important that we touch one another. We, you know, do you ever wonder why, you know, Jesus just didn't stay on the earth after he was raised from the dead? He could have just stayed there in Jerusalem, set up the kingdom, couldn't he?
Yeah.
I this is my own opinion. I believe he went to heaven, so we'd have to do some things by faith. So we learn how to love one another. In fact, you know, if Jesus was on this earth, we'd all go to Jerusalem to do something for him, wouldn't we? We'd want to go there and help him, feed him, do something. Amen? But he said the way you're going to have to do it, you're going to have to do it to one another. That's how you do it. Because that's where he dwells. Amen? He's in us. We're all parts of him, but the body makes, you know, we all get together, we have more of an expression of him. Amen. But he says in verse 41, Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, ye into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we a hungered, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer unto them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away to everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Also, we're going to look at another passage where he said, you know, when do, he said, you know, we cast out devils. Remember that passage? Let me think how it says it. Anybody think where that verse is in the Bible? We cast out. He said, no, we did all these things in your name. What chapter is that?
Chapter 6.
6?
No, 7. 7, sorry.
I think maybe I may have written down. Matthew 7? Let's go to that once. Matthew 7. I'm glad you showed up.
21,
okay. I knew it was this early part of Matthew. Oh, here it is. Let's start in verse 21. He's talking about the fruits, how we'll know them by their fruits. You know, God's interested in fruit.
Yes.
He is. He says in verse 21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many, he says many, not just some, but many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works.
Yes.
I believe he's talking to us Pentecostals and charismatics there.
Miracles, absolutely.
Because there's some churches that don't do this stuff. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I believe he's talking to spirit-filled people. How's that? That claim to be spirit-filled people. And then he says, Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That word new there is a word that's an intimate word. That's, you know, some, not just casual knowing. Intimacy, into me you see. How's that? That's a good way to think of intimacy. Into me you see. In other words, we are so much into Jesus, we begin to see things as he sees them. And so this is a strong rebuke here to some folks. I don't want to be in that category. I mean, that's puts the fear of God in my life. Amen. That he would say, I never knew you. Paul said to know him and the power of the resurrection. I've made it my aim in life to know him.
Yes.
And that he knows me. And how do we do that? By doing the works of the Father, of him that sent me, Jesus said. So it's important that we get our priorities right and be connected and help people. And, you know, I know this verse here we're talking about, we read about, when do we see you in prison? I don't know if that's talking about a prison ministry in general, but I think talking about it, especially if believers are put in prison, we need to go in for their faith. Amen. Probably more of that than whatever. I did prison ministry for about 10 years. How many ever did prison ministry? It's a very fruitless job, somewhat. You have all these guys are saying, I'll see you. I'm getting out of here. I'm coming to your church. And, you know, not a whole lot of them. We call it jailhouse salvation. I don't know. But anyhow, you got to do what you can do. All you can do is sow the word. Amen. And whether it falls on good ground or not, that's not my department. Amen. But it's important, again, that we know him and he knows us. And it's important that we put actions with our faith. In fact, if you don't put actions with your faith, your heart will be deceived. You know, it says in 1 John, we can assure our hearts before him.
Yes.
It's important that you act out the love walk. You know, it says, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, be fed. Another thing to do something about it. And the book of James talks about that. I'll show you my faith by my actions. And yeah, we need to be concerned about one another.
Yes.
And meet people's needs. And I'll get more specific in that also. There are Bible guidelines about helping people. You know, if the widows, they need to be of certain age and have served the body of Christ. You know, there's certain regulations. Amen. You just, if you don't work, no, you don't eat. Huh? No worky, no eaty. That's the Bible. We don't know. People don't like that. Love's not love. No, it's love. Love can be tough at times. Amen?
That's right.
Amen. Let's go to Matthew 22 here. Matthew 22. I'll touch on a couple things here and then we'll... Matthew 22. How about verse 37? This is an introduction here tonight. Yep, if Jesus was in Jerusalem, we'd all just go there and want to do something for him. But he said, if you want to do something for me, do it to your least of these, my brethren. So I really served Jesus by serving you. Amen?
Yes.
When I help you out, when I come do something for you, when I come mow your grass, or whatever. You know, people are big into foot washing, and I believe, you know, it's a good thing, washing feet. How many have had their feet washed? We sort of lost that too in the church, but you know, I tell people, go wash someone's car. That's how we get around nowadays. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's like washing someone's feet. They walked everywhere and they went in those days. Your feet got dirty. Well, we drive in cars and our cars get dirty. Go wash somebody's car and bless them.
Amen.
Where do you live at? Huh? Where did I tell you to go? You got me distracted. Matthew 22. And Jesus, this is where the rich young ruler came to him. Remember, he had questions. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now he said there's two commandments. Now you get over into the book of Galatians, which is the New Testament. See, this is Old Testament here. You understand it? Jesus hadn't died yet and made the new in effect yet. You get to Galatians chapter 5, it says the law is all fulfilled in one word now. Thou shalt, what, love thy neighbor as thyself. So I love God by loving you. I call this perpendicular love. If your love isn't this way, your love can't be that way. Think about that. I can say I love God, but if I can't love the brother whom I can see, I'm deceived. Amen. And so we need to learn to love one another. In other words, when I start loving you like I love Jesus, then we're getting somewhere.
Amen.
And it pleases God the Father. And there's a verse in Psalms, I think Proverbs says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies to be at peace with him. See, it's hard to be my enemy. Because I do the word, amen? If I can find it in here, I'm going to do it. So again, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Again, why do we have to love our neighbor? Because that's where God dwells now, in my neighbor. Are you with me?
Yes.
Does this make sense? I hope so. Now, again, the Bible says we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. So that's why it's so important to develop our faith walk where you're not being led of your senses all the time, because your senses will trip you up, especially when it comes to loving people. I learned this years ago to lower my expectations of people. I have a real low bar for people now. I do. I used to have it pretty high, and nobody could ever get up that high. And all I do would be, I got offended all the time. So I just said, put the bar down on the ground. You know, if you can't jump over the step over the bar, then. And it's a great way to live. You're not offended anymore. Now I expect things, don't get me wrong, I expect things out of people, especially leadership in church. My leadership, they had to tithe. If you didn't tithe, you're not a leader. Then my board of directors, they signed a paper every year that they tithe, and a whole list of things they do. Because they're examples, amen? I mean, you do what you want to do, but it worked for us. And they're all blessed because they brought that tithe. But again, loving thy neighbor, that word neighbor, it means someone who's nearby. That's all it means, a nearby one. Doesn't mean the next house or whatever, but someone, you're my neighbor here tonight. You're nearby me. And I'm to love you. And again, that word love there is the word agape. We're going to look at that. I'll save that for next. I get one more session, don't I? Okay, good.
One or two, whatever.
All right.
We'll take it a step at a time.
Okay. We won't keep you much longer here tonight. But it's important, again, that we love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, a lot of people don't love themselves. That's why they have trouble loving their neighbor. That's why you need to have a good perspective of how God sees you and the love he has towards you so you can love others through that love. Yeah, and a lot of people have a low self-image. And I'm not talking about being prideful, but you need to have a confidence in who God is inside you so you can love them and see them. As I think Dr. Ken Stewart, he defined that word agape, to see someone as valuable and precious. I like that definition. And that's why God sees us as valuable and precious. And sometimes you have to see them by faith that way because they're not acting that way. They're not portraying that, but we can see them that way through the eyes of love. Again, on these two commandments, hang on to the law and prophet, but now it's just one. Because God dwells in man now. And if I'm going to love God, I got to love you. Or I'm stopped. And my prayers will be hindered. Then they say about, Peter talks about husbands and wives. Yeah, heirs together to the disgrace of life. If you're in strife with one another, your prayers are hindered.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Timothy talks about being in strife. How the devil take you captive at his will to do his will. So it stops your prayer life. You got to love. I remember when I first started meditating on this, the love walk. And there's a verse in Philemon 6. Can anybody quote it for me? That the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. It's in Philemon 6. I call it Philemon Yon. Philemon Yon. You guys are too sleepy here. But I remember I was meditating on this love walk because, you know, Brother Hagin always taught you, walk in love. I think that's the reason I'm still here today and had some success in ministry because I learned to walk in love. You too. If you don't learn to walk in love, you just, the devil will eat your lunch. And life will be miserable. But I had my own business back then in that day. I was a masonry contractor. I'm a bricklayer by trade. And wintertime we did remodeling, whatever we could do. But I remember I was doing a job for a guy. He's over in Hummelstown, Pennsylvania. Brand new house. And I was laying the brick on the front of the house. And if you can't work with wet bricks, you ever lay, how many, anybody laid bricks here? They got to be dry. You have a mess. So anyway, it was rainy season. And I was meditating. I remember driving to work that morning. I was thanking Father. Thank you, Father. I'm a love creature. Your love is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Not just quoting the word. You know, you gotta communicate it. Yeah, the communication of your faith becomes effectual. It stirs it up in you. And I'm thinking, man, I'm a love creature. Glory to God. And I got to the job site that day, I didn't get out of my truck, and the guy that I was doing the work for came out of the house, the builder, and man, he was mad. I thought, man, what's he so mad about? He's yelling, started cursing at me. He says, you know, here's what happened. One of my laborers took some brick and sit inside the house overnight to keep them dry on their linoleum floor.
Oh, no.
You know, I didn't know they did that, but they did it. So, you know, the Bible says a soft answer, what? Turns away wrath. You know, I could have got mad, you know, could have got real defensive, you know, and I said, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't know they did it. And if there was any damage, I'll pay for it. Well, he cooled down. But thank God that the love of God was shed around my heart. I didn't respond with anger. And, you know, you might read in the paper, pastor shoots contractor, who knows? You know, if you run in some stuff. Yeah. Well, I remember had one lady, she took advantage of me. She's supposed to have been a Christian. I actually had thoughts of shooting her, killing her. I mean, I had to cast down thoughts, imaginations, and high things. She had me so mad one time. Because I went the second, third, and fourth mile with her. She was trying to get everything for nothing, you know, something. But I kept walking in love. Because what? Love never fails. Doesn't fail. And sometimes that's, again, that's what he's talking about, the labor of love. You got to work this thing. You got to, again, acknowledge these good things that are in you. You can love like Jesus did. We have that ability. Amen?
Yes.
And if we do, it pleases God. And when God's pleased, he smiles on you, and good things happen. You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm so blessed with stuff. And God bless Abraham with cattle. God bless me with cars. I got a bunch of cars. But I found this. You just seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things the Gentiles seek. He just adds them to you. It's just, I wish I had kept record of throughout my life the blessings, financial blessings, material things that just overtake you. I don't find myself ever praying for stuff. I think about it, and he's able to do above what I can ask or think according to the power that works in us. And I believe that's talking about the power of the love walk.
Yes.
You walk in love, man, good things happen in your life.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
All righty, well, how about if I, let's go to Romans 5. I'll close with this verse, Romans 5. Thank God for the word. Amen.
That's right.
This is a verse, you ought to get this in your memory box. I trust you take time to memorize scripture. When I was attending Rhema, I had a 67 Ford van at the time. It had a little, in front of the stream was a little platform there, like you could, and I'd put little scripture cards there every day to memorize scripture. And I lived in North Tulsa, and I had to drive the whole way out to Broken Arrow. And every day, Brother Hagin would pass me in his Cadillac. Well, I was going to Rhema. This old van was pretty much beat up at that time. But I remember confessing the words and saying, Father, I just thank you someday I'm going to be driving nice cars. Hallelujah. Because your will is that I be blessed. And every time I get in my nice Mercedes now, I just thank Father, it's happened, it's come to pass. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, moving right along here.
Romans 5:5.
And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He didn't just put a little dabble, do you? He shed it abroad inside us. Some translations talks about it. He pours it out. He pours it out of us to others. Again, I think in the book of Corinthians, you see this where it said if an unbeliever would come in our midst, you'll read that, they would fall on their knees and worship God. I think because they see us so much in love with one another in our churches. Amen. We need to, they should walk in our midst and say, wow.
Yes.
Well, how do I join this club? Well, his name's Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Any comments or questions here, what I just shared here tonight, just to get you thinking? Yes, Phil.
The goodness of God leads men to
the goodness of God leads one to repentance. Yeah. Let's make the world thirsty, huh? Anybody else have anything? Add and take away? No, you don't take away. You get in trouble, you take away. Well, glory to God. So make that part of your confession again, that God's love is shed abroad in your heart. Acknowledge that good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. There's a lot of good things that are in this righteousness, sanctification, a whole bunch of stuff that's in us in Christ. And we need to recognize these things and let them become effective or effectual. Amen. When I was growing up, I had curly hair.
Really,
I did. I had curly hair. I hated it. I wanted to have a flat top like everybody else did back in my day. But I've become so conscious of that, of my hair being curly, I'd be embarrassed. In fact, I'd sleep with a stocking cap on to flatten it out as much as I could at the time when I was a kid. Because I acknowledged that. That word acknowledge means to act on knowledge. I was aware of that more than I was aware of, it didn't really matter, amen? Look at me now, huh? Well, see, God did put hair on some of you. Others, he gave perfect heads. You don't need hair. So, yeah. Anyhow, can we pray here as we get ready to leave here tonight? Father, we thank you that your will is going to be done in the church in these last days. And Lord, as members here tonight of this body, we thank you, Father, that you're stirring it up to love one another and to care about one another. And Lord, just help us to be conscious of these things and not be so self-minded, but to seek the betterment of others like your word says we're to do. Thank you for the love that's in our heart shed abroad. I pray, Lord, that the eyes of our spiritual understanding will be enlightened, that we'll notice what we received as inheritance as saints in this light. We thank you for the power of the Spirit of God. It helps us to love one another and guides our steps in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.